Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We've come to your house to worship you. And Lord, we want to give thanks and praise to you. So we ask that thy Holy Spirit be poured out in our hearts and our minds and help us to lay aside the cares and the hurts and the illnesses and the traumas of life in this world. And instead, help us especially this week to focus on the goodness, your blessings. We have so much to be thankful for. So Father, we ask that you would take these words and thoughts, and Lord, may we be lifted up into your presence above all the maladies of this world. We pray in thy holy name. Amen. Well, today's scripture is a rather long one, as you probably saw. Let's go ahead and read through it here to open. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. Beautiful Psalm of David's. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Amen? Keep your finger there. This won't be a deep exegetical study, but we're going to reflect on those verses as we go through today. Now, the Pilgrim Fathers who landed at Plymouth Rock over 400 years ago knew nothing of the affluent times that you and I live in today. We enjoy many in this great country of ours. Amen? We have much to be thankful for. And most of you probably are familiar with the story of Thanksgiving, where William Bradford of Plymouth Rock proclaimed it the Day of Thanksgiving to celebrate the survival of the Pilgrims in their second year in the New World, as well as the abundant harvest that they had reaped with the aid of the Indians. However, most people don't know, or at least remember, that the first American Thanksgiving did not occur in 1621 with that particular group of Pilgrims, because the first recorded Thanksgiving actually took place in Virginia 11 years earlier, and it wasn't a feast. The winter of 1609 and 1610 at Jamestown reduced the original group of settlers from 409 down to 60. It was known as the starvation time. So the next time you and I are tempted to complain about inflation or the state of the economy or the price of gas or you name it, remember the following. That during that first long winter in Plymouth Colony, seven times as many graves were dug for the dead as homes for the living. Seven times more. And the ship that finally arrived that was supposed to bring food and relief actually brought 35 more mouths to feed, but they were out of provisions when they got there. And yes, touching indeed is the picture of William Brewster, rising from a scanty Plymouth dinner consisting of a small plate of clams and a glass of cold water. And he said, "Thank God, quote, for the abundance of the sea and the treasures hid in the sand," close quote. You know, the Pilgrims didn't have much, but they possessed a great attitude of gratitude. And it was upon this very thing that America was built. These stalwart people, strong, devout, and sincere were the very timbers upon which this country was made. And yes, I did bring a little brown sack today. I brought Thanksgiving dinner. Sorry, it's not a big plate, but we have a plate. I read where it became the custom of the survivors of that group that every Thanksgiving, upon an empty plate before dinner of Thanksgiving was served, every member of the family would pick up a kernel of corn and tell what they were thankful for. And then, after they were done, they would place it on the plate. It was to remind them that for the first pilgrims who came here, they were in such dire straits that their allowance, not just for Thanksgiving dinner, but their daily allowance was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kernels of corn. That's what they lived on. They were down to where they were eating leather off their belts and their shoes. They ended up actually slaughtering 7 of the horses that they had brought. And when they ran out of that, they turned to dogs, cats, rats. When that was gone, they dug up some of the dead and resorted to cannibalism. It's only back in, if I remember right, I think it was around 1990, 2000, right in that year, where archaeologists digging in that area found evidence backing up the stories of cannibalism of those days. That's how hard a life they had. Friends, we have so many things to be thankful for, don't we? So let's go take these 5 grains of corn today, and let's turn to Psalm 103, and let's go through verses 1 through 5, and as a basis, we can think of just 5 things here that we can praise God for. So Psalm 103, the first part of verse 3, is "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?" Can we say that's a kernel of thanks? Amen. He forgives our sins. You know, one day a fellow was visiting his pastor in a parsonage, and he picked up a book that was on a stand in the pastor's office, and he began to read it to himself, and suddenly he shouted, "Glory! Praise the name of the Lord!" Pastor was startled. He looked up at him, and he says, "Well, what's the matter with you?" And the guy says, "Well, this book says that in certain places, the ocean is 5 miles deep." Pastor goes, "Oh, yeah, okay, what of it?" And he said, "Why, the Bible says that my sins have been cast into the depth of the sea. And if it's that deep, I'm not afraid of them ever coming up again." He said, "Actually, if a battleship was sunk, it would crush it like an egg down in those depths." Should we be thankful for forgiveness of our sin? That God casts them into the depths of the sea? Because there's no mistaking it. God offers forgiveness to all. All any person must do is repent. Turn from the sin, and God will forgive him and remove the penalties of sin. Because the forgiveness is the promise of the Father. It's the provision made by the Son, and it's proclaimed in the Bible. So from the depths of our hearts, what a sense of gratitude should just burst forth out of us when we really contemplate and pray over and recognize what it means to have our sins forgiven. Gratitude will ascend like incense before the throne of God. Little handout there. Number 1 is the kernel of forgiveness. Verse 2 is the kernel of redemption. Because in verse 4, the first part says, "Who redeemeth thy life from" what? Destruction. Whoa. Destruction. You know, the London Times publishes prices paid for art objects in all of the galleries and big sales places in the world. And if a painting sold in New York or Paris or London or Rome or wherever, the Times gives the full details of that sale, and you can judge the value of the painting by what the price was that it sold for. And you can judge your value, our value, by the price that Jesus paid for you. The depths into which he went to reach us to pay our penalty, who redeemed us from destruction. Some years ago, a governor of Texas spoke to assembled convicts, penitentiary people, in that state. And he finished by saying that he would remain and listen to any man who wanted to speak to him. When the meeting was over, a large group of men remained, and many of them were lifers. And one by one, each told the governor that he was there through a frame-up, through injustice or a judicial blunder of some sort, and every one of them asked to be freed. Finally, one man came up and said, "Governor, I just want to say I'm guilty. I did what they sent me here for, but I believe I've paid for it, and if I were freed, I would do everything I can to be a good citizen and prove myself worthy of your mercy." And the governor pardoned this man. Why? Because he admitted his guilt and had done his time. And so it is with us if we are to be redeemed from the awful sentence that we're under. But there is a difference, and it's a big one, because we can't say that we've paid for any of it, because as the old hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. We can't claim any of it. But if we plead his blood that he so graciously and lovingly has given to us and offered to us, God will redeem us. And the Lord not only saves our souls from eternal loss, but he also redeems our lives from the clutches of the devil in this life. Praise God. Because Satan is bent on destroying each one of us. But thanks be to God, he redeems us from Satan's power, and your life will change when you allow him to rule in your heart. You know, all one has to do is to look around in our penitentiaries or sanitariums or hospitals or halfway houses or even some homeless camps or maybe even in the nice houses and maybe even in the good rich houses. Everywhere, because they're all filled with people whose lives are being destroyed by the enemy. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein at." Sad text, huh? It's easy to go the wrong way. Like the old statement, you know, takes a live fish to go upstream, any dead one will float downstream. It's easy to go downstream. Well, with God's power in your life, you can go against that grain. Amen? So we praise God today with the psalmist. Keep your finger there in Psalm 103 and go over to Psalm 40, verse 2 and 3. We find a beautiful statement here. David says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Isn't that beautiful? God wants to lift us out of the miry pit that our lives are in, and to set us on the rock of Jesus Christ, and to allow him in our life, and he will give us a new song and a new way and a new power. And we should be thankful. So the second one is the kernel of redemption. Number three, the kernel of healing. Of healing. We find in verse 3 back in Psalm 103. The last part of verse 3 says, "He who healeth all thy diseases." You know, when first considering this passage of Scripture, I paused because it's a little difficult to reconcile it with the fact that, well, it seems God doesn't heal everyone who has a disease, or a fatal disease, as we call it. But I believe the Holy Spirit can help us to see three important truths contained in this verse, and it may bring a little light. First is that all healing is divine healing. And all recovery from sickness and injury and trauma and surgery is the result of healing properties that God has built into our bodies. Medicine, surgery, therapies are merely extensions of God's healing ministry. And God gives gifts through our physicians and through our health care providers that lead us into ways where God's body can heal. The second point is that this verse doesn't say that God heals everyone's diseases, but that he heals all diseases. You know, there's no disease or sickness that lies beyond his healing power, right? Nothing that we would even call incurable. For we know even God raises from the dead. He has the power. He's the great physician. He is the life giver. The third point is the main truth that I learned in this psalm is that David is speaking about his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he said, who heals all your diseases. Is he speaking to his soul? Because the diseases of the soul emanate from the virus of sin. And Jesus identified this virus and its symptoms and disorders in Matthew 15, 19 to 20. Let's turn to it real quick. Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. He says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, a sick soul. These are what make a man unclean. And just as surely as some disorders of the body can be cured by medicines and surgeries, so the soul of a man can be cleansed and purified and purged and made whole, but only when God's Holy Spirit is allowed to possess us completely. We need self to die daily. Our opinions, our ways, our thoughts surrendered to God, and to allow his power and guidance in our hearts and lives that will bring out a newness of life and a vigorous, and God will cleanse us of all the unrighteousness. And it's a work of a lifetime. Because God, though, promises that he is the author and the finisher, and if we stay with him, we don't need to worry about it. Take us day by day, Lord, and work what you need to do in us today. And he will. So the third kernel is the kernel of healing, be it physical, emotional, spiritual. The fourth kernel is the kernel of love and compassion. Love and compassion. Verse 4, the second half says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You like that one? Loving kindness and tender mercies. God is so good to us. So good. You know, there's a great little story of one of Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman's meetings. A man rose up to give the following rather remarkable testimony. He says, quote, I got off at the Pennsylvania Depot one day as a tramp. For a year I had begged on the streets for a living. And one day I touched a man on the shoulder and said, Mister, please give me some money so I can have something to eat. As soon as he turned around, I saw his face. I recognized him as my father. Father, don't you know me? I asked. Throwing his arms around me, his father cried, I found you! I found you! For 18 years I have been searching for you, and I found you! Why, son, all I have is yours. Think of it, he says, that I, a tramp, stood begging my father for a few cents when for 18 years he had been looking for me to give me all he was worth. Close quote. You know, how similar is this to the loving kindness and the tender mercies of the Lord that accompany us every day? God is out there all the time, just, he can't wait to bless us. He wants to grow us. He wants nothing more than to have his character reproduced in us and to get sin out of our lives so that he is reflected in us by his power. Praise God for his love and his compassion. Number 5, last one. is the kernel of satisfaction and renewal. The kernel of satisfaction and renewal. There in verse 5 of Psalm 103, he says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Somehow that should fit in Thanksgiving, right? We like to satisfy that taste, sense, and smell, and sight of our Thanksgiving meals. This reminds me of the words of Jesus given on the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after turkey." No? That's not what he said? No. "Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled," or they'll be satisfied. But you know, there's kind of a great paradox here when I think of it. Because we're satisfied, but we're never really satisfied. Now, I don't want to discourage anyone here, get anyone upset at me, but I'm sorry. My wife makes the best pumpkin pie in the world. And I tell you, I'm always satisfied when I eat some. It's great, but I always want more. She's got to hold me back or the whole pie will disappear pretty fast. Because I've experienced the wonders of that pie, and it makes me want to taste it again and again. And man, I'm sad when it's all gone. You know, and so it is with righteousness. We're filled, and the filling is so sweet, and it's so rich, and it's so full, and it's so life-changing that we want more. And we want more. And we want more. Thank God it's not fattening. Like the pie. Praise God for His goodness. And when we seek God's righteousness, He grants it. I have to wait till she makes it. God's got it. He grants it. Psalm 107, just turn over a couple pages. Psalm 107, verse 9. Says, "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Isn't that beautiful? With goodness. So a famous surgeon was seldom seen walking on the streets of New York without a beautiful, fresh red rose in his lapel. And his friends wondered how and why the bud seems to just stay fresh for so long a time. Finally, they got him off to the side and asked him what his secret was, and he turned back the flap of his coat and he revealed a little bottle of water that the stem of the rose was down inside. And so it is with us believers, friends. If our lives draw from the great resources of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of His goodness, the bounties that He's given us, who is in us the living water, He is the water of life, we will grow more fragrant and more beautiful as the days and the years go by. But that's not the end. Because here in verse 5, it also says that God will renew my youth like the eagles. That is a sweet promise. You know, eagles are known for basic three things. You know, their size, their strength, and their longevity. When we lived up north, I was pastoring up northern Washington, we had the blessing of having a lot of wildlife around, and we had a lot of bald eagles. You know, they're about like yay, most of them. And I thought, oh, they're so beautiful, and they're big, and they are. But then I got to know the golden eagle. And it makes the bald eagle look like little crows. You know, they are tremendous, powerful, regal birds. To have us as eagles. You know, also, an eagle is known for its annual molting. That doesn't sound very pretty, does it? You know what I mean by when they molt? They lose their feathers and they grow new ones. That's renewal. That's what David's talking about. And this is the result of living a fulfilled, satisfied, vibrant Christian spiritual life. And I am constantly being renewed, refreshed, and revived in my soul. And God is doing it all. So thankful for that. So number five is the kernel of satisfaction and total renewal. And there are many more we could go on. We could go on all afternoon and days here. But number five is a kernel of satisfaction and renewal. So as we consider just these few things, no wonder the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." So as you sit down at your Thanksgiving meal Thursday, stop, reflect, and thank God for all the blessings you have. But maybe also for the five little kernels we looked at today, remembering what our forefathers went through as we sit down to enjoy all the comforts we have. And may our worries, yea, maybe complaints and concerns of this world, evaporate and concentrate on God's goodness and the blessings that he has given each one of us and each one of you. No matter what's going on in your lives, you are blessed. The kernel of forgiveness, the kernel of redemption, the kernel of healing, the kernel of love and compassion, satisfaction, and renewal. May God bring you a closer walk with him this Thanksgiving season. And let's give him all the glory, all the praise. Let's take our hymnals, turn to number 70. Number 70, and we sing about praising the Father. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come together to offer our praise to you. We often come to you with our petitions, and we are so glad that you want to hear them. But Lord, today we just want to close with thanks. We thank you for your love. We thank you that out of that love that goes beyond anything we understand, Jesus came to raise us up and to pay the price that we cannot pay, so that through your goodness, Lord, we may have the opportunity to take that free gift and to live with you forever, to be cleansed of sin. So, Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we have in this earthly life. We thank you for the food that we enjoy. We thank you for dirty dishes, for that meant we ate. For there are so many that struggle with even that. So, Lord, may our hearts be broken for them, and may your love work through us to help those less fortunate than we are, as we praise you for your goodness and the bounties of blessings you give us. So, Lord, as we go from here today, I pray that all week that you will refresh us like the eagles. You will give us new strength. You will give us a song in our hearts. And we give you all the praise, for you alone are worthy, for only that comes from you. Thank you, Lord, from the depths of our hearts, and grow us to meet you, we pray in thy most holy name. God's people say, amen.